I don't know whether you've ever seen a sporting event, either live or watching on the TV, when one of the teams or one of the players just gives up and surrenders. I don't know about you, but as a sports fan, there's nothing that gets our goat more than a sportsman or sportswoman just surrendering and giving up. It's complete failure and loss in our eyes. In the world, surrender is failure. But in the kingdom, surrender is the gateway to gain. In the kingdom, it's the complete reverse. It's through surrender we gain and inherit everything. We've been looking at a series in Hebrews 11 on stories of courage and faith. And I just want to spend a little time looking at this life of Abraham, just a very brief story, and Moses, and they're very much the beginning of their lives. And this is the story of Abraham, and I'll just read it to you, and then I'll just briefly mention Moses as well. So Hebrews 11 is like a library of different characters, and the writer mentions them. So it says here in verse 8, it says this about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Then a bit further down, it says this about Moses. It says, by faith, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the king, for he endured because he saw he who is invisible. So these are just two brief stories of surrendering all, giving up everything for something else. So you're looking at Abraham, just start looking back at Abraham. Abraham was called to leave his land, to leave the land of his father. I just want to show you a couple of slides to just get you to see what he was surrendering. He was giving up. It wasn't just an odd place. It was actually a very sophisticated society. So I'll just share my screen and you'll see some pictures. This picture here just shows what Abraham was leaving. It was the land of Ur, the Earl of Chaldeans, it's called in the Bible. Civilized society. It had drainage systems. It was trading. There was houses. And that was where he was born. That's where his mum and dad were. That's where he would know everyone. It was familiar. And it was a sophisticated society. And I just wanted to show you this slide. Does anybody actually know what this is? This is one of the things from this city where Abraham left. Does anybody know what that is? Now, obviously, you're all on mute. But actually, that's one of the first board games ever created or being preserved. It's Ludo from the Society of Ur. I don't know how they played it, but that was the board game they used. He left this society, this incredibly sophisticated society, his family, what was familiar, and he surrendered it all when God spoke to him. Then, of course, we've got Moses. And if you know the story of Moses, you know that Moses was lived in Egypt, and he had an education, an upbringing. It was a place of influence, and he was Pharaoh's daughter. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he had a position in the hierarchy in Egypt like no other. He was like Prince William's son. It was a place of authority, but he surrendered it all. He gave it up, the position, location, the influence, and the family, to obey the call of God. This is surrender. But I want you to see that this is not blind surrender. And it's not blind obedience. Yes, it's full surrender. They didn't leave things behind. They didn't leave a suitcase to nip back. They left completely, but it wasn't blind. Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews says, it was through faith and by faith, Moses and Abraham obeyed, surrendered their lives to follow the call of God. It says in Romans 1 that obedience that comes from faith. This was not blind surrender or blind obedience, but faith was working in there in the equation. Faith was working in their hearts. Faith sees what's unseen. And the earlier verse in Hebrews, which we've mentioned a couple of times, says this: now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I just want you to see what actually Abraham had. Now, he had the promise, which I will cover another time, but he also had a vision, and I'll just share the screen again, and you'll see what Abraham could see. By looking at the scripture, reading it again, you can see it says this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. But here it goes: for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And if you look at the Moses verses as well, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as son of Pharaoh's daughter, and etc. Until you see, you're just in the bold there, you can see he disregarded for the sake of Christ the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Both Abraham and Moses had a vision. They had faith. It wasn't blind. It wasn't just, oh, I just need to give everything up. It was faith-filled, faith-informed. It was a vision and a promise-knowing step. So what about us today? What about us in our lives with Jesus? How does this work? I'll just stop sharing. How does it work today? We're in the New Testament. Are we called to surrender everything like Abraham? And if so, what do we surrender? Another question is, are we motivated like with a vision like Abraham? Are we the same? So I'll just start with question one. We are called to surrender all to Jesus and completely trust him. And you can see that in the calling of the disciples. So we are no different to them and no different to Abraham. So when Jesus came to the disciples, he called them And it says he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Andrew, his brother, and Andrew and his brother. They were casting nets into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And it says in the scripture, immediately they left their nets and followed him. They surrendered all and followed him. And it's the same later on when he calls Zebedee and his John and his brother. They left their nets to follow him. That surrendering all to Jesus is exactly the same. It's the first thing we do. But we don't just do it once. We do it ongoing. So in Matthew 16, it says, when Jesus said to the disciples, he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The same principle of surrender is there in the ongoing as we walk with Jesus. So what are we to surrender? Well, it could mean our ambitions, our perfect house, perfect family. It could mean giving up our time, our thinking, our views. But at root level, it is about our will. We surrender our will to him and we get off the throne of our lives. We've been doing in our hub a course called God's Big Picture, and one of the early sessions really struck home to me and described really what happened in the Garden of Eden. And we all probably know the story, we're all very familiar. What happened in the Garden of Eden is we disobeyed God's command. God said, "Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil." But we followed Satan's twisted command, and we disobeyed his command by taking the apple from the tree. But what we didn't just do, we didn't just disobey. We put ourselves in the place where we decide what is right and wrong. And we became lawmakers, not just lawbreakers. It's like we turn to God and say, from now on, we'll decide what's the standard. We'll determine what's right and wrong. Yes, it was a fundamental act of rebellion which affects us today. And we are on the throne. We are usurping God's authority. And Jesus asks us first to surrender our position and get off the throne and let him sit in his rightful place in our lives. But what amazing truth. So we do know our relationship with Jesus is one of surrender now. But this is the gateway to power. This is the gateway to something better. For his kingdom to come in our lives, he needs to be on the throne of our lives. The king needs to be on the throne. But this is so much better. The second question I asked was, okay, there's a great story about Abraham, but he was motivated by a vision. Are we today motivated by a vision? And the answer is yes, we are. We too are motivated by a vision of a city built by God himself. We too are motivated by a vision of a structure that's designed and built by God. And it is the kingdom of heaven on earth, where his rule, his blessing, his power, his grace is here today. We are caught by that vision. And it's interesting that the writer of the Hebrews, when he describes Abraham's vision of a city, he uses two words, and I'll just share those on my share them on my screen too. He uses two words. So when the writer to Hebrews was describing Abraham vision, he used these two words, a city whose designer and maker is God. And he uses two words, technites, which is a word for craftsman, and the word demogoros, which is the word for author, creator, and architect and designer. These two words are very unusual because they're very practical, especially they're quite secular. There's not a word that one of those words is not used in anywhere else in the New Testament. And you can see the word technites is where we get the word technician from. So he was saying God is not only an architect of this incredible city, he is also the technician, the one actually does it. He's actually the one who not only designs it in the blueprint, but he's the one who actually delivers it for real. It's a bit like saying Steve Jobs. If you think of Steve Jobs, who was the founder of Apple, he was a man who had incredible vision for computing and computers, and that the computers should be an object of design and style. And he got the blueprint of the new Apple computer in his mind. But imagine, just imagine for a minute, that Steve Jobs not only got the blueprint and the design and did all that work, but is also the manufacturer of it. He was the one that actually built your computer that you received in the post. And he also delivered it. This is what the writer to the Hebrews is saying God is. God is not only the architect, but he's also the one who puts the tangible, creates that tangible thing that's on earth as well. This is an amazing thought. The kingdom is not just a vision of something up in the air, the blueprint, but it's a tangible thing, heaven coming on earth, a place of blessing, a place of his rule, a place of his grace and favor. It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. We are caught by that vision. I am caught by that vision to see God's rule on this earth. It's not just about when we go to heaven. It's about now. And that brief vision that Abraham had was a precursor for what we carry, which is to see the kingdom on earth today. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Heaven as it is in heaven on earth. We are bringing that incredible thing really now. So this means three things for us. It means God is building a real and tangible thing, which is his kingdom. We are caught by that vision. I also, and I can't draw it out from this particular scripture, but we are invited to partake in the building of his kingdom and to learn its principles and a culture. Did you know the kingdom of God has a culture and has principles? It's like any country or any place. You know, when you go to a country and you learn the culture, learn the principles, it's exactly the same. They are not just in our heads. We have to learn them. So just here's a couple. The kingdom culture, the culture of the kingdom we need to learn is one. We need to go low to go high. We serve without wanting reward, but when we serve, we're rewarded. The humble will be exalted. The first will be last. We don't give to get, but when we give, we get. These are principles of the kingdom that we are to learn. And he invites us to partake in this, but he also invites us to learn the principles of it so it can grow in our lives and also others. And then he also, at the most important, he says, receive my kingdom. And this is that what happens. Through surrender. The kingdom grows through us surrendering to him, just like Abraham, that moment, and Moses, that moment. Jesus says, become like little children to receive my kingdom. There is a place of surrender. And Paul says this as well. He says, In Philippians 3, he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss everything, it uses an actually worse word than that. He basically says, I consider everything poo. But anyway, that's a move on. He says, everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. There it is, lost all things, surrendered all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ. This kingdom, this amazing thing that we are is impacting our hearts and is in our hearts, is a kingdom that has principles, and it's as we surrender, we see the increase of the kingdom. In the world, as I said, surrender is failure. But in the kingdom, surrender is the gateway to gain. It's the complete reverse. God is no man's debtor. When we surrender, we will never end up in the wrong place, because he promised he will fill us with so much more. As Paul says, that I may gain Christ. There is nothing compares with all of the things of this world. Nothing can compare with knowing Christ. And that starts, and that process starts and on goes in our lives through surrender. So let's be people like Abraham who have a vision. Let's be a people who have a vision of the kingdom, both not just up in the air, but on earth, to see the kingdom increase in our lives and in the lives of people in Perth and in our way we are together, the culture of the kingdom. Let's be people who are caught by that. But let's also remember that it's through surrender. It is through surrender. It's giving up. Now, I know Abraham was tested very much later. He was tested several times because there were some challenges in his life. It's an amazing story. If you ever sit back and read the whole of Abraham's story, it's one of failure as he was stepping through these amazing truths and promises. But God is faithful. And he says, as you surrender, I will fill you. And what you let go of is nothing compared with what you're going to gain.